Welcome to the CCT 8 Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We've got a beautiful day near the end of May, and actually this is going to broadcast on June 1st. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
And Kim Fink.
Now, where are we going?
We're going to Alan.
I read an article the other day in the Epoch Times, and I hope some of our listeners will actually look that paper up. If you want a good source of dependable, accurate information, check out the Epoch Times. You can get it online. You can also order it and get it delivered. It's a weekly paper, very few advertisements, but it's basically information, very conservative, and the kind of thing that you can rely on. But anyway, in this particular article, they related an extensive study that was named by the author, the lady by the name of Hillary Cass, C-A-S-S, and they called it the Cass Review. And it was conducted in the United Kingdom. And what they did was they went back over numerous studies of the impact of hormone blockers and other medical treatments of children that were identified with having gender dysphoria. And what they found was, contrary to what a lot of the children and parents here in this country, that contrary to the information being spread here, that most of the studies showed that the children that are subject to these hormone blockers and these puberty blockers and these other things are not only not helped, but they are actually harmed. As a result of that study, the United Kingdom has stopped all treatments, these medical treatments of gender dysphoria. So they have taken a strong position against it, as have another few other countries, Sweden, Norway. There's been a couple other countries that have also done that. So I thought that was a wonderful source of information, and I hope that it has some impact in our country.
Alan, one of the things that has been used to almost threaten parents into going along with this transformation is that they've been told by counselors, if you don't do this, your child will commit suicide. And the statistics point out that actually the suicide rate is higher among kids who have transitioned. And I really kind of think that's because rather than get to the root of the problem as to why the child wants to transition, they just go along with it. And there's a case now where the child's been taken away from the parents because the parents refuse to support the transition.
So, I would think that the medical community, with the oath, their medical oath being first do no harm, would be in a case of gender dysphoria. If you are a female and you have female genitalia, but you think that you are a boy, why wouldn't they give you the hormones that correspond with your genitalia instead of opposite? It would seem to me if they think they can transition you to an opposite sex, surely they could transition you into what you are.
Well, the other part of that, too, is this is partially a social media thing. The kids are seeing it on TikTok or wherever.
What's cool?
And thinking it's cool. But also, you get into the pharmaceutical industry here. A patient who transitions is a patient for life.
Lots of money.
Because their body is constantly trying to go back to where they started. And you've got to constantly give them drugs to fight that. And that can't be healthy.
No.
Go ahead. I was going to say, they're also at an age where they want some identity, some uniqueness. And if they can separate themselves from the crowd by having one of these odd things going, then that gives them uniqueness. You know, it's funny, we sometimes talk about the only way to nonconform is to conform with every other nonconformist.
But it also creates another protected class and another victim status. And I think in society today, that has taken over so many rules. And we don't need more rules. We already have anti-bullying things in place. If we just say no bullying, we don't need a special class of people to title that to.
Well, that's true.
And what they found in this study, which I thought was very revealing, were a couple of things. Number one is most of the children that are having this, quote, gender dysphoria, which years ago was very rare, now it's increasing because, as you mentioned, the social media and what they're exposed to, there's more children being identified. But what they found was that the large majority of these children had other mental health problems. This was not their only difficulty. They either had depression, they had social isolation issues, they had autism was much higher. So what they're doing, and the sad part about it, in this study, they reported that the United States has become the instigator behind most of this. And there was a time in which the United States had a reputation of providing a lot of positive things to other countries. Now we're getting the reputation of the things that we're doing are negative.
Money.
And I think part of that has to do with these topics, these things are becoming ideological. They're part of the social kind of approach of, you know, diminish the family, let the government take over, let them control the children. And that's part of, I think, what's going on.
You know, I wanted to bring in another, an unrelated but related topic. This last week, we heard the National Institute of Health finally admitted the use of masks had no help. Poo-pooing ivermectin, yeah, when it was actually an effective medicine.
Don't say the V word.
And don't say vaccine. Oh man, we're off the air.
YouTube kicked us off for that.
Okay, but you know the social distancing and masks and all of, the isolation had no effect on. But National Institute of Health decided we have to do all these things. The government decided what we have to do. So are we going to believe our government the next time around? I don't know.
There was a story that I read a year or two ago about a little boy who was 5 and decided he wanted to be a little girl. And thank God he had parents who said, I don't think so, and took him to a counselor. And what they found out was that the little boy had a younger sister who was handicapped, and she was getting a lot of attention. And he felt like if he was a little girl, he'd get all that attention too. So they solved the problem, and he continued on as a little boy. That's the proper way to handle this.
I agree. I think it's everybody wanting to fit, that they're looking for a niche of, to be an individual and to get attention. And sometimes it doesn't matter if it's negative or positive. It's just attention. And a couple months ago, one of our local churches had a 3-day seminar. I don't remember what it was called, but it was about the transgender issue. And Chloe Cole, who is nationally renowned, she's from California, was transitioned starting at a young age, hormone blockers at, I believe, 12, and a double mastectomy at 15. Mm. And in her testimony, she indicated that the medical profession really did not help her. Matter of fact, they hurt her. They told her parents that she was suicidal when, in fact, she was not. They pretty much led the way and told her what the next steps in her transition was going to be, where she kind of felt like she was led down that road instead of counseling her to, you know, give it some time, give it some years, let's grow up a little bit. It was all immediate. And her parents, she blamed for a little while for allowing this. She said that it's a fantasy anything that has to do with transgenderism is a fantasy. It is not real. She is now in the process of detransitioning and hopes someday to be a mother. So that just gives you an example. And you can find her testimony. Her name is Chloe Cole. You can find her online. You can find, she testified in front of Congress even.
I just looked her up. And one of the, she's 19 now. And one of the comments that she made is she was a tomboy who idolized her big brothers. Well, back in the day, when some of us were growing up, some of us were tomboys.
I was.
And our parents had enough sense to know that we would grow out of it, and we would eventually get to the point where we would be young ladies.
Well, there was a joke about a little boy who said when he grew up he wanted to be a pirate, and he's glad his dad didn't poke his eye out and chop his arm off.
Leg, but yeah. Yeah. I mean, this, and just to close out the segment, we have in front of us a page out of a book that was given to a local sixth grader. And I'm not going to read it, but it is sexual content that absolutely should not be handed.
Well, what they're trying to do is they're breaking it down, not only this issue by gender and sexual attraction, and also there was a third one of physical
romance.
Attraction and romance. I mean, so they're taking a binary type of thing, and they're turning it into six subgroups that you have to recognize these subgroups. Folks, let's be humans, let's be kids.
What's funny is that we were told for the last 2 years to follow the science, and now here when they talk about biology, as the word sex is biology, I thought biology was science.
We thought that when we were growing up, yes.
We were told.
But now it's consensus. It's consensus, and it's also what the government agency tells us. Folks, I have no trust in government agencies. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you had a little bit more information.
Yeah, I just wanted to relate a positive thing where the county commissioners recently took a position not to fund certain social worker positions that had been given to the Craven County school system by federal funds. I believe it was COVID funding or Inflation Reduction Act, whatever they get these taxpayer money from. And that was a good thing because the schools do not have to become and shouldn't become mental health centers. They should focus on academics. But that leads me to the next topic. The Biden regime has announced that as of August 1st, they are going to redefine the wording of Title IX. Title IX was a civil rights act in, I believe, 1976, somewhere around there, that really opened up and ensured that women were treated and girls in schools and so were treated just like the men to the extent that they had similar access to sports, to different activities and so on. And it was, the wording was that there would be no discrimination based on sex, biological sex. What the Biden regime has done is they've come up with an alteration to that that would change it from biological sex to gender.
Gender, in other words, identity.
Gender identity. So, for example, if a boy says, I'm now a girl, he's not only going to have to be called her, but he's going to have access to the girls' locker rooms, the bathrooms, and so on. And what's scary about this is that since they're doing it from the federal level, it's going to apply to the entire country. And any school in any state that does not comply will lose federal funding. And federal funding, although not the major part of school funding, is a significant amount of money. And so there's a number of states that are suing the federal government to get this stopped.
If we look at federal funding, it's a total dollar amount. It is on average about 10% of what the money comes into the school system. And maybe that's what needs to happen. Maybe the states need to stand up for themselves, and because those dollars come with strings attached. Common Core should have been a good reminder about what we're left with. The ESSR funds in education, this is what we're left with. That money runs out, it stops, you're left holding the bag. It costs you more than you ever got from them.
The original Title IX was 1972, and the changes in women's sports were amazing. And what has happened with this whole gender identity thing is you've got girls who've worked their whole lives to get athletic scholarships in track, in volleyball, in softball.
Swimming,
that are being replaced by guys because there is a difference. And, you know, if you really want gender equality, how many NFL teams have women on them?
You know, I want to bring up, I hope a related topic, but Title IX. Title IX is a law, isn't it?
Yes.
And that was passed by Congress.
Correct.
1972.
So all of these changes that are coming are administrative changes done by the administration. There is a case before, I believe it's before the Supreme Court, about these administrative law cases. And,
yes.
You know, how do you fight the EPA in an EPA court funded by the EPA, and they have unlimited amounts of money to fight you. Same thing in the Social Security Court. Same thing in all of these various courts that they make up their own regulation, not the law. They make up their own regulations. There's a big challenge to where do the these administrative courts fit into the real judicial system. They don't.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Bob, because in that case that went before the Supreme Court, I believe it was in 2022, ruled that the EPA could not institute a rule to eliminate coal-fired plants. What the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, federal at the federal level, they issued a ruling that would have completely shut down coal-fired plants. And as you said, that was not in any law that came out of Congress. But they took it upon themselves, the administrative state, and that's where we're being ruled by the administrative. But the Supreme Court came out and said, no, they could not do that. The Congress could do it. And I think that's going to happen. These states that are fighting this are probably going to take the same this issue to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will have to decide again, are they overstepping their authority, this agency, and it's taking something away from Congress.
Yeah.
How does this line up with executive orders? Because I've seen some executive orders that should also fall in line with congressional approval. Like you were talking about the coal places, that was one of the things that Obama and Biden both campaigned on, was getting rid of coal. And they were doing some of the things on stopping fracking, stopping the pipeline via executive order and not legislation.
Which is what Biden did. He shut down our domestic oil production,
essentially.
And that's where, you know, when this happens, when this government is supposed to have three branches, when one branch is infringing on the rights of the other, it's that branch that's being infringed upon, their obligation to fight this. Congress should be suing the executive branch to stop this, and they have to fight to retain their power. They're going to lose it. And I agree with you, Kim. There's probably been a lot of these executive orders that have gone way beyond what their authority, like with the giving the student loans and some other examples that we could cite, as Bob mentioned about some of these other issues. It needs to be fought. It needs to be stopped.
And somehow we also have to push the legislators to go back to them writing a one- or two-page bill and not accepting a case.
On one subject. Amen.
Yes. The good news is that six states have already instructed their school systems to ignore this directive. So they're taking the position you mentioned. Now, if the federal government cuts off that 10%, of the budget, well, they're going to have to be prepared to deal with it. But still, they're standing up and saying, we're not going to do it. And that's what it takes.
If you look at what 10% means in total dollars, it's a big number. But if you look at all the fluff that we have built into schools in elective classes, not main core, in the sports life, in the other cultural arts things that are definitely a benefit to the kids, but not a necessity in their education. It's the privilege part of the education. If we cut out, just like anybody who gets a pay cut or gets laid off, you got to cut off your Netflix. You might have to cut off some of your streaming services because you don't have the same income. I think if they were forced to, they could cut their budget.
Well, there's also the fact, if you look at the growth in the number of administrators versus the number of teachers in recent years, we have gotten very top-heavy with administrators while we've got teachers struggling in the classroom because there aren't enough of them.
I agree.
And we've talked previously about they give you the U.S. Department of Education will give you this 10%, but then they want 15% of your control of everything, or 20% of your control.
Oh, 100%.
Or 100%. That's right. And there's a lot of strings that come with this money. This is another case of the strings that come with the money.
And there's another thing about, Kim, you're bringing up where money could be obtained to replace the federal lost dollars. I happened to look the other day at the number of vacancies in the Craven County school system. There were 222 vacant positions.
Wow.
In the education part. Now, you multiply that by the typical salary plus
benefits. Is that teachers or administration?
Combination. Okay. There were some teachers, some, you know, custodial staff, a variety of different positions. That's a lot of lap salary.
Yeah.
When they give you a budget, that money is based on those positions being filled. So you have that many vacancies, you are accumulating a lot of salary that's not being spent. And that money could certainly be redirected, and maybe they're using it for other purposes now. That's the other question. Because a lot of times agencies will take money and they'll move it from one place to another, and it makes you wonder what's going on. Where is that money going, and how is it being spent?
Right. Good point.
Where is it being spent? And you're right, how is it being spent? If you look at, there's no agency that I know of right now that's working on what's called zero-based budgeting.
Right.
They're all budget whatever the current budget is, right, plus another amount.
Well, and it's interesting to note that since we've had the U.S. Department of Education, the scholastic performance of American students has dropped drastically. We did better when it was controlled closer to home.
We did better when it wasn't teached to the test.
Mm-hmm. When we actually had kids learning.
And it was better when we had competitive schools, schools that knew that they were competing against one another for the students. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is a CCTA Wake Up Call show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. I guess I'm here charged with leading us on to a totally different topic. Mary, you have the topic that we're going to.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Middle East. Recently, we had a horrific amount of civilian casualties in Rafah. And the jury's not totally in yet. But the maps of where the rocket hit and what happened next don't really make a lot of sense. And there's an article in the Times of Israel that the IDF is stating that a hidden store of weapons may have been the actual cause of the blaze. So,
that's what the IDF said. What did Hamas say?
Well, Hamas is not going to tell you the truth.
Well, then I don't care whether they tell you the truth or not. What did they say?
That it was a massacre and they attacked civilians. But Hamas sends rockets into Israel attacking civilians all the time. So I don't understand what's going on here. But anyway, I wanted to mention that there are some questions there. And also, the IDF has established operational control over 20 tunnels leading from Gaza to Egypt and another 82 shafts nearby. Now, along those lines, there was a report by Laura Loomer, who was one of the few investigative reporters left, that the IDF recovered a bunch of U.S.-made M-112 explosive charges in an UNRWA school in Gaza. And the batch numbers on these charges indicate that they were from a 2007 U.S. production that were sold to the Egyptians. So it looks like those tunnels between Egypt and Gaza have been used by the Egyptians to smuggle weapons in that we have sent to Egypt.
Or somebody bought them from Egypt, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they were smuggled into Gaza.
Being charitable, yes. Somebody bought them from Egypt, and now they're
probably with that humanitarian money we've been sending.
Humanitarian
Gaza,
art. Yeah.
They turn around and buy weapons with it, you know, which brings me, it just makes me think of this port. Did you hear about this pier that we were going to establish? The idea being that we didn't want to be giving this humanitarian aid coming through Israel. So what we did, we were going to make this port, this artificial dock or whatever it was. And they set the thing up, and then they had a minor storm, 3-foot waves, which is, you know, is insignificant. It broke apart. And the Biden administration said that we had committed like $300,000 to build this. Turns out the reality of it's way over $1 billion, and it's not functional. They had to drag it away. They're going to try to patch it together. And another fiasco of the Biden regime. And they can't do anything right.
And meanwhile, Hamas sold all the stuff, the humanitarian aid that was supposed to go to the civilians.
Yes.
So our effort at humanitarian aid failed miserably.
You know, and you know, it's just one thing after another. We try to restrict Israel when they're fighting for their survival. And then recently it was announced that the United Kingdom and France were in the process of initiating additional sanctions against Iran. Because Iran is not cooperating with the International Atomic Energy Commission, which is a worldwide group that's supposed to monitor and limit the spread of nuclear weapons. And Iran had agreed to certain things, and they are violating that agreement. They won't allow this group to inspect their facilities and so on. And so the UK and France wanted to implement these additional sanctions. Who's stopping and pressuring to stop them? Us. We don't want, apparently, the Biden regime does not want additional sanctions put against Iran. I mean, this is unbelievable. This Iran, once they get nuclear weapons, I mean, they attacked Israel, a month ago? They sent thousands of rockets? Who doesn't think that they're going to use nuclear weapons against Israel? They say they want to wipe them out. We should believe them.
And there also are rumors on the internet, I don't know how true they are, that Iran is within a month of an atomic bomb. I mean, they're right on the edge of that. Now, speaking of terrorists, I'm going to transition to a report that was on Front Page magazine. And when Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th, it was ugly. And as the information got out, a lot of people realized that that was an atrocity. That was a war crime. And the Islamists are very good at public relations. And in America, we have a group called CAIR, C-A-I-R, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. They're a legal group, and their goal, their ultimate goal, is to bring America into Sharia law. They were an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation trial. And if you've never looked up the government exhibits in that trial, you will find the entire plan of CAIR and the Islamists to take over the American government, to convert us to Sharia law through the use of lawfare. Now, the Council on American Islamic Relations, after October 11th, and they celebrated October 11th, has been meeting.
7th,
I'm sorry. Has been meeting with attorney generals around the country, trying to convince them to arrest journalists and activists who had been investigating and exposing Hamas supporters.
Can I interrupt you for just one moment? I want to go back to one of the opening sentences that you made, that they are very, very good at public relations.
Yes.
Why are they very good at public relations? Is there a word called taqiyya that helps them in their public relations?
Well, taqiyya is the principle of Islam that says it's okay to lie to an infidel. So that's part of it. The other part is something called the Red-Green Alliance, which is the alliance that has formed between the, I don't like to use the word Marxist, but unfortunately that's where we are, between the extreme liberal American press and the Islamists. That's part of the problem too. Now, MPAC, which is the Muslim Public Affairs Council, has been meeting with Merrick Garland and senior Department of Justice officials, including Christopher Wray, to discuss targeting Jews, because they want Jews arrested, to be very blunt about it. This
doesn't,
is all
doesn't
going
matter
on.
The charges, it just want them arrested.
No, well, we've seen that. This is going on under our noses.
So our members of Congress that are Jewish, do they not see any threat here?
That's a very good question.
Ask Schumer.
Well, that's true, because Schumer has taken the side of Hamas. He's not taken the side of Israel.
Yeah.
And he's Jewish.
And I'm thinking about the squad, you know, the women in the squad.
Well, those are Islamists. Those are Muslims.
But I would be curious to know if they're members of CAIR.
That would be a very interesting
rabbit hole to look under.
Yes, that would be something.
It's just when you're fighting an ideology and they're allowed to lie. I mean, Hakeem Jeffries, for instance, we don't know much about his religious beliefs, but I had heard that he was a Muslim. I'm not positive on that. But he's in a position of great authority.
Very powerful, yes.
Very powerful.
Well, I wonder why so little was done about the protesters on our college campuses, some of whom were destroying property. They were blocking Jews from going to their classes.
But they were mostly peaceful.
And there have been very little consequences.
They were mostly peaceful protesters, Mary.
Yeah, mostly peaceful.
They didn't burn anything this time.
No, but they destroyed things.
I think part of the problem is there's a tendency to not want to deal and face reality. The reality is that Western civilization is under threat from these Islamists and the Marxists, and in a lot of cases they join together, like you were pointing out, Mary. And they want to destroy Israel first, then they want to destroy America, because we represent the things that the ideals and principles that they abhor. And recently I noticed that the Taliban has reinstituted the punishment for women being unfaithful and committing adultery, the stoning them to death.
Yeah.
So they're back to reinstituting those extremists, and that's what we're facing. And we're allowing more and more people to come into our country from overseas who share many of these values. And no culture can exist when you don't have a group of your citizens that believe the same thing. It's impossible. You know, it was interesting in this regard when Washington, George Washington, gave his farewell address, and he was talking about the importance of preserving patriotism. He said that we could not exist and would not succeed as a country if we didn't share the same moral and religious beliefs.
I have
to say,
that
was the Judeo-Christian values.
Yes.
And we're getting away from that, and we're not requiring that.
Right. Since I mentioned about Hakeem Jeffries, I just Googled it, and it says that he is a Baptist, but there is also some Facebook posts of him with the Muslim community talking about peace and blessings to all of my Muslim brothers and sisters observing Eid al-Adha today. Proud to represent the Bangladesh American community in Brooklyn and Queens. So he may not be Muslim, but he definitely has.
May not be as Baptist as he sounds.
Some leanings. Well, I just want to be correct in what we're saying here on the show. You know, don't want to get ousted by.
Yes.
How come we have not resurrected the phrase fifth column? Let me read out of Britannica. Fifth column: clandestine group or faction of subversive agents who attempt to undermine a nation's solidarity by any means at their disposal. The term is conveniently credited to Emilio Vidal, a nationalist general during the Spanish Civil War. As four of his army columns moved on to Madrid, the general referred to the militant supporters within the capital as the fifth column. We have a fifth column going now, and whether that fifth column is considered the students, or whether it's considered the press, or whether it's considered the United Nations, it's still the fifth column.
And it's sad because the civilians, we are just pawns, and we are at risk of the consequences of our countries going to war or nuclear war. We disagree with what the United States is doing, has done, the involvement in places where we shouldn't be. But yet, if we go to war, it's our brothers, sisters, fathers that are dying on the fields. It's not the people making these decisions.
That's true.
No, the decision makers, they're just making money off of the industrial military complex. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Pawn, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you have another topic.
Bob, this is kind of interesting, and it's a personal thing, too, because I guess I've been guilty of what they're accusing our fine Justice Samuel Alito, who is a reliable conservative on the Supreme Court. And over the last week or so, there's been this uproar by the left media, you know, the fake media, about the fact that he needs to excuse himself, pardon me, from any trial or any hearing having to do with Donald Trump, and because they say that he made two mistakes. Number one was he flew an American flag upside down on his flagpole at his home. And what they're saying was this shows, and it was done right after January 6th. So it's been a while, okay? And what the left is saying is that this implies that he supports Donald Trump. Because when you fly an American flag upside down, traditionally, that's been the sign of distress. In other words, it was done initially in maritime locations. If a ship was having problems, they would fly their flag upside down, another ship would see it, and they would come over and try to assist that ship. So it was used as a distress signal before they had radios, ship-to-ship radios, and so on. So now they're saying that because of that, that this clearly shows that his bias towards President Trump, so he should not be involved in these decisions.
But there's no double standard showing here at all. There's no Judge Mershon, whose daughter is going to make money over Trump, and Mershon himself being a donor to President Biden's campaign. It seems to me that there's a whole lot of double standards going on here.
Yeah, well, the double standards is not an issue for the left, because the left does not believe in truth. We know that, right? So even though you're absolutely right, there's a double standard being applied, but they're going to use it to their advantage.
My blood pressure's going up.
It's interesting. There's an AP article that's dated May 29th today, and it says 9 days after the New York Times reported about the political symbolism of the upside-down American flag that Justice Alito flew, the Washington Post acknowledged it had the same story more than 3 years ago and decided not to publish it. This is much ado about nothing.
Well, and like I said, they're thinking they can use it now because there are these cases that are going to be coming before the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. which was not the case then. And the other thing they're getting him for, the second flag error that he supposedly made, was there's a flag called the Appeal to Heaven. I had never heard of this before, but you folks in Massachusetts may have heard about it. But what this flag was, on it, it has a symbol of an evergreen tree, looks like a pine tree, and then above it, it says, an appeal to heaven. And it was actually developed in 1770. 1776 or 1777, during the Revolutionary War, when they actually launched six schooners to attack the British fleet that was coming to attack Boston. And that flag was created and flown for that time. So it was an official flag historically of the United States. But it's now they're accusing Alito of flying that flag because it shows white supremacy. There's all kinds of connotations they're trying to connect to it. Even though that flag was the maritime flag for the state of Massachusetts until 1971.
Wow.
And that's when it was removed. But they're using, again, they're using this to try to disqualify Alito from being on these court decisions.
Well, I know on the U.S. flag being flown upside down, the person that actually did it was Alito's wife.
Yes.
Not Justice Alito himself.
Yes.
So I mean, and that was out of frustration for the way some things were going. You know, let's look at, by the way, we're the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and periodically we will fly the Gadsden flag.
Yeah.
Why the Gadsden flag? Because we need to unify. That was showing that the unification of the original 13 colonies and the threat that we would be to somebody else.
Well, I have a flag pole in my backyard, and I have been flying my American flag upside down since Biden got elected. And in fact, about 6 months ago, I had a neighbor contact me and ask, kind of indicating, well, you must have made a mistake putting your flag up because it's flying upside down. And I said, there's a reason, because I believe the country is in distress. And this rule that they're talking about, this American flag rule, they're implying that that is actually a law. And it's not written like that. All it is this code, it's called the American Flag Code, is actually a suggested way of dealing with the flag from a courtesy standpoint. In other words, it actually says you shouldn't put flags on your shirts, you shouldn't put them on napkins, you shouldn't do a lot of these things. With now, everybody does.
No printing over the flag.
No printing over it. And that's where they're getting this. But it doesn't say, in the language, it doesn't say you shall not fly the flag upside down. It says you should not. And there's a obviously legal difference between those two words, should and shall. So it's all bogus. But again, it's an attempt, as Kim said, to apply a different standard with Judge Alito, and they can let this Judge Merchan run wild and do whatever he wants.
And Black Lives Matter can burn flags. And that's okay.
Or stomp all over them and do whatever else. Right. Yeah, yeah. So we have a dual system of justice.
I think one of the things to watch in the coming days, talking about a dual justice system, is the trial of Hunter Biden. Because the reports have been that Joe Biden just coincidentally last weekend made a visit to his former daughter-in-law, who is going to be one of the witnesses.
And I don't believe for one moment, no matter what happens with Hunter Biden, that he would ever serve a day in jail, because his daddy would just pardon him.
If he's president.
Well,
if they get it done before.
But there's such a thing as you could pardon him in advance of committing the crime.
That is true.
But you think he would have already done that, though?
Well, no, because he doesn't think anything's going to happen. Remember, they didn't think Hunter was going to come to trial. They thought that they had it figured out when
they had the plea deal that said, if you find him guilty of anything in the future, you can't charge him.
And remember, there's nothing to see on that laptop, and there's, 51 federal agents or whatever that denied that laptop was real.
And also there's been news from the Biden family member, Ashley, talking about
her
the
diary.
Shower.
That diary.
From her diary that is coming out to have some credence to it as well. So
you're talking about showering with him. Joe Biden showering with his young daughter at 7-8 years of age. Is that what you're talking about?
I think it went up through 15.
Well, I'm just saying that I would. It's just like in the Clinton Chronicles. Everybody is connected, and if you take one person down, who else is going to follow in the dominoes? And if this line is as big as I think it is, everybody has said, if I'm going down, I'm not going alone. So you better protect me, because if I go down, so do you. And I think that's part of what Hunter and Joe have got going on. Yeah. I don't know that Joe's cognition is great enough for him to understand what's really going on, because he had Robert De Niro do a press conference yesterday that was quite a joke.
Well, it was interesting. The there was a photo that I just wanted to bring up at this topic, about him visiting his ex-daughter-in-law. I guess it's his ex-daughter-in-law. And they had two pictures. There was Joe Biden standing near his ex-daughter-in-law, and he's got his nose buried in her hair.
Oh.
Then there was a picture right after that. This was on Newsmax. Obviously, it wouldn't be on a fake news. Then he was doing the same thing to his granddaughter, who was sort of like, it looked like she was maybe 10 or 11, and had his nose buried in her hair. And that, you know, that his... There's been plenty of instances where he's been accused of sniffing little girls' hair and so on and so forth. So, you know, true to his who he is, you give him a chance and he's going to just reflect his true inclinations.
Well, it's kind of sad. I mean, you watch his speeches and his press conferences, and the man is obviously not working with full capacity here. And they're drugging him to get him through. And I don't know that the debate will ever happen, but I would want a drug test. And there's a specific drug that they give Alzheimer's patients that they need to test for. And we're in a very sad state right now.
Yesterday, Dr. Jill Biden was giving a speech, and she referred to population voting and saying that she was sure that when everybody got educated, that they would vote for good over evil.
It's all a matter of definition.
You know, we also need to remember that the childhood story of the scorpion that needed to get across the stream, so asked the frog if he could ride on the back of the frog going across the stream, and the frog said sure, and whatever, they get across the stream, and then the scorpion goes and poisons the frog. And the frog said, well, why did you do that? Well, you knew I was a scorpion.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we're about done. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for listening.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in Newbern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in Newbern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, Newbern.